Oh, it's very beautiful manatee. I was in South American the past January, and we had NYTS over there for 3 weeks. We do not have too many students. We probably only have about 15 students. We had a wonderful time over there too. One of the events that occurs was one day we invite a brother from Dominica to give a sermon in the early morning for morning prayer section. And the brother intended to share the message about the prayer of Jacob. Jacob prayer in Fort of Abel, Yabo Duko. He struggled very hard, pray with his will, try to wrestle with our Lord, the Lord, that kind of attitude, to share that kind of mentality in the prayer. But the following day, he shared an interesting dream with us. He says that when he decided to share that passages, he had a dream when he was asleep. He said a pastor was taken up by a helicopter. Before the pastor left from that place, the helicopter returning back. And the pastor yelled out loud to him and told him clearly that share Psalm 51. Ask him to share Psalm 51. Now, what is the difference between these two messages, Psalm 51 and the prayer of Jacob at the fort of Yabo? I think these are one very significant differences. One prayer is prayer with your will, your totality, your heart to fulfill what you like to have. But later on, actually, Jacob, he cannot really win the wrestling with God. Later on, Jacob turned into a prayer of begging. If you do not bless me, I won't let you go. He cried for that blessings. And that kind of part, that part is a little similar with Psalm 51. When Paul received a vision from heaven, when Paul received a vision from heaven, right? Paul says that he won't go against the vision from heaven. And the vision was for NYTS. I think that vision does not only for them. I think that vision is also for us. We got to share Psalm 51. That's why in this evening prayer section, I'd like to share with you Psalm 51 according to that vision, reminding us. It's a prayer of repentance. Please read verse 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David here says that cleanse me from my sin. This is a hymn that he wrote after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then that iniquity was revealed by Prophet Nathan. And he wrote these messages. Cleanse me from my sin. Before we ask God to cleanse us from our sin, we got to hold on the multitude grace of God, the loving kindness of God. Brother and sister, we have been departing from NYTS for 1 year already. Maybe some of us, just like last year, right? A lot of accusations from Satan. We make many, many mistakes. David made very serious mistakes, but he still tried to hold on the multitude grace of God's tender mercy. David knew that very dearly, because as soon as Nathan tell him about his iniquities. Immediately, David says that, I sin against God. And guess what? Immediately, Nathan answered for the Lord, your sin have forgiven. I don't know how come Nathan can answer him in that conversation. I tell you, brother, you sin against God. And you say, okay, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And then I dare to tell you, I know that God already forgiven, have already forgiven you. Who taught Nathan that? How come that answer is so quick? Did God already told Nathan that as soon as David confesses sin, you let him know that I can forgive him? See, David have that kind of experiences. The forgiveness was so quick, beyond his imagination, I think. He even hold on that grace, right? Nathan says that the son that you have with Bathsheba will surely die because of iniquities. Guess what did he do later on? He did not give up because he knew that God is a merciful God. He faced and prayed for 7 days and seven nights. He threw himself into the ground, refused to eat, and just pray over there 7 days and seven nights. What made him to do that? Even Nathan, God already pronounced that your son will for sure die. But David says, you will never know, right? You will never know because God may change his mind even though he already made announcement. He did not even give up because he knew God has wonderful grace, abundant mercies. So today, we know that we are not perfect, right? I don't know how many hidden secret iniquities that we have made in the past years. First of all, we got to hold on that kind of grace of the Lord before we can come to the presence of God. In the New Testament, we can see that Jesus is called the friend of sinners. When you read John chapter 8, a woman who committed adultery at the sands, he was caught, he was brought into the presence of Jesus. Everybody questioned Jesus. The purpose of them is trying to stone them to death. And Jesus asked one question. Any one of you without sin can cast the first stone? Nobody dared to cast the first stone. And then they left. At that time, you can imagine that if I was that woman, I would run away. Nobody trying to catch me. Nobody is judging me right now. I will leave away immediately, right? If you were that woman, probably you would do the same thing, right? Guess what? That woman did not depart away. That woman did not leave. She was standing over there in front of Jesus. You know why? I think she is begging for someone to forgive her too. She knew that she deserved to die. She knew that Jesus was a merciful person. And knew that if she keeps standing over there, she might have a chance to receive the forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Therefore, she stand over there. She did not run away. So, brother and sister, again, let's hold on. That multitude, that great mercy of the Lord. I shared with you in the past, and I would like to share with you again, the judgment from the Lord is slow, but the forgiveness from the Lord is always very fast. In the Garden of Eden, God walked to Adam to judge him. But when Elijah says that I am a sinful man, with sinful lips, live in among sinful person, angel fly over to cleanse his sins. So again, we got to do not be afraid to come to confess our sins, to come to the presence of God, to repent our sins. If we do not commit mortal sins, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, give us very comforting words. Hebrews 4, 14. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who have passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us behold, hold fast our confession. 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the author encourages that Jesus was like us before. I mean, he was with flesh. He knew our weaknesses. So we just come to the presence with boldness. The Lord, hold on the grace of the Lord, and the Lord can forgive us. After we hold on the grace of the Lord, and then we come to the presence of the Lord, what shall we do? Please turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51, verse 2. 51, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Jump to verse 9. Hide your face from my sin and block out all my iniquities. We come to the presence to what? To ask God once, twice, three times, God, please forgive my iniquities. Because my sins is always in front of me. Please, beg God. Ask God to forgive you. There are three aspects when we come to begging God for forgiveness. Chapter 51, verse 3 says that, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. We got to acknowledge our sin. Acknowledge, brothers and sisters, is different from hiding. When we sin, when we have sin, we always like to hide our sin. We make some mistakes. We don't want anybody to know about it. Sometimes we even want to hide it from our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says that if anyone try to hide his sin, he will never prosper. 隐藏自己罪过的人绝对不会亨通的. He will never prosper in the way of his doing. Why King Saul was forsaken? Because he always find excuses for his iniquities, for his mistakes. A prophet asked him, why don't you kill the king Amalekite? He says, oh, because, you know, the people asked me to not kill him. No, if we preserve the sheep, we can offer the sheep to you, right? And the prophet asked him, why do you offer sacrifice by yourself? And he said, oh, because you come late, because people are departing from us. If I do not offer sacrifices, all people will go away. No matter how many mistakes, he always have excuses to back him up. The same thing, we are human beings. Whenever we make mistakes, we always find excuses. Adam, why do you sin? Because my wife give me fruit. Why? Eve, why do you sin? Because Satan seduced me to do it. Lured me to do it. We always have excuses. Guess what? Excuses will never be justified in the presence of God. Only if we confess our sin in the presence of God, then we can beg the mercy of the Lord. How did David confess sin? He wrote Psalms. So you can read it, so I can read it. Everybody can read it. Dear you, confess your sin in front of your friends, in front of the public. This is a very shameful thing to do, isn't it? But that only shows our true confessing. That only shows that our true repentance. We dare not to show our shameful thing because we determined that we are not going to do it again in the future. I still remember once upon a time one of my kids forged the signatures because I think he's not doing too good with his schoolwork. And the teacher wanted our signature, right? And for some reason, I guess he was afraid that we might score him. So he signed my name or my wife's name, I don't know. And we happened to notice that, right? Oh, I was so angry. How can you do this? You go to family service every time. You never miss one church services. We ask you to pray every day. And you force the signature. How can you do that, right? As soon as we try to rebuke him, guess what? His tears start to fall down, right? Confess his sins. It's like show his remorse, right? And then our heart was softened. Oh, how can we rebuke him because he cried like this already, right? Brother and sister, if human being have merciful heart like that, imagine how could be the hearts of the Lord if we dare to confess our sin, acknowledge our sin. Not only that, in this psalm, when he ask for forgiveness. This is another aspect. 51 verse 4. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Against you and you only. Brother and sister, how come David did not say, I'm sorry, Bathsheba. I'm sorry, Ahithophel, his Bathsheba's grandfather. I'm sorry. How come he never says sorry to human being? He only say, against you, O Lord. I sin only against you. Because, you know why? When Nathan tried to confront David, God let David know a very important thing. You know what? You despise me by taking other people's wife. You despise my commandments. So, brother and sister, if we truly sin against a person, truly do something wrong, we despise God. Not only the people, not only the event, but God himself. You know what? This is beyond the personal relationship. This goes into a spiritual realm. No wonder God says that because of your wrongdoing, the enemy has the accusation to blaspheme. Blaspheme. What does it mean? The Satan now has a chance to laugh at God. See God, the one who is, you say, after your heart. Look at him. He's this kind of person. So we despise God when we commit sins. How serious it is. Satan is laugh at us. Laugh at God. Laugh at angels when we commit sins. So we got to understand one thing. Today, we got to know that this iniquity is not ours only. Not sin against people only. Sin against God. That's why when Jesus talked to Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? Paul said, Paul was amazed. How come God, a being, a divine being from many kingdom, talk to him, why do you persecute me? I only persecute a Christian, right? But the Lord says that it's hard for you to give thanks. If you persecuted my people, it's persecuting me. So whenever everything happened to us, happened to God. We do good things, God receive glory. We do bad things, God was blessed from it. People kick at us, people kick at God. So we got to be aware of this when we confess to God. How much iniquities we have sinned against God because we put God down. We despise God. Another aspect when we confess sins, ask God. 51 verse 8. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Brother and sister, we got to confess our sin because there's an aspect that, you know what? Sin is like a burden, always crush you. The sorrow heart break the bone, according to Proverbs. When you feel very sorrow, right? Sometimes your bone dry. When you commit mistakes and you feel like you are not forgiven, sometimes that burden follows you till the day, if you never repent, maybe to your grave. I share with you, don't think that if you commit mistakes right now, you will forget about it when you come to my age or when you come to your grandmother's age. Sometimes that kind of iniquities will always come to what? Haunt you. If you don't feel that you are forgiven, you know? See, because you have tasted the mercy of God, you know how wonderful the Lord is, I share with you. Unless you put Jesus Christ into garbage can, unless you don't feel clear conscience, your sin will always crush you. And that will go with you. So that's how important that when we come to the presence of God, we always need to beg in God, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That makes us want to ask God for forgiveness once and twice and third time again. Now, after this kind of begging, right? It is not good enough. We got to show one step further. Chapter 51, verse 12. 12 and 13. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then, 13, I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. 14. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing out of your righteousnesses. One step further, what did he do? He said, Lord, I know I make mistakes. I know you are merciful God. And I know you forgive my sin. But I also tell you that once my sin is forgiven, I'm going to bring many people to your presence. I'm going to teach many people concerning your ways. I'm going to sing praise to you with all my life. And did David do that? Guess what? How many psalms David have written in his life? How many beautiful singing hymns he have written? You know, so after we confess our sins, you know, there's one thing, one step further. You cannot leave your heart empty. You cannot do nothing and nothing to do. You know what? When you confess your sin and you leave that, your heart empty, right? You will always live in a cycle. Guess, isn't that sounds familiar to you? You live in a pattern, in a cycle. Yes, you go to NYT, yes, your spirituality is restored. You go to SC, your spirituality is restored. And then you go to another cycle. Yeah, you are down to the earth, you know. You are trapped under the step of Satan, you know. Satan will slave you because you commit many iniquities. Then you go back to the law. Cycle and cycle and cycle. What can we break the cycle? One step further. Try to do something for the Lord. Try to do something positive. Try to, I don't know. Think of something. I don't know. Maybe this is something you got to think over here. Something positive. Something break the pattern. Break the circle. Maybe just like David. Determined to serve the Lord with all your life. Having the fullness of Holy Spirit all the time. At least one thing you should do over here. At least, I want to propose it to you. At least one thing we can do over here. Try to experience this God over here. You know why? So I know it's so unavoidable to break the pattern, right? But if one person have ever touched God in one prayer section, right? No matter how down he is or she is, in the future or in the past. He always remember that sweetness, just like he remember that he had committed sins in the past. That memory is as strong, as powerful, as so sweet that will always draw you back to the Lord. Some positive thing. That positive thing could be determined to live for the Lord with all your life, or simply one experiences that you can have to see God face to face over here. You will never forget about it. And you will cherish that moment with all your life. Only if you have that one-time experiences. I have very wonderful experiences in Vancouver. I went to Vancouver in May. Because I hear so wonderful testimony over there. Not wonderful. One of the truth seeker experienced wonderful experiences over there. And I knew that truth seeker, I don't know if... One day, if he is down, that visions, that experiences will always come to his life. This is a very, very vivid experience to that person. That truth seeker passed by Vancouver Church by himself. He is a scholar in his maybe 30 some years old. And he came to the chapel to listen to the sermon. He educated by Communist Party, therefore he did not have a concept of God. He had so many questions when he listened to our sermons. But guess what? We asked him, just come to join our Bible seminar. Just pray with us. And then he come early in the morning, 7:30, to join our prayer section. And guess what? In the prayer, he prayed with sincerity. And in Vancouver Church, right? When you face the chapel at left-hand side, there was a wall. It's a glass door, right? Is it? Glass door, right? And he saw some figure with white walking and laying hand on him. He says that it is not any ministers, because he can tell a minister just went to him and laid hand on him and the minister walked away. But this person was walked inside from the wall, and laid hand on him. And at that time he received Holy Spirit. And when he received Holy Spirit, after that, he feels so excited and feels so, you know, when we preach to him, he can understand the truth from that moment on. The following morning, again that pair of hands, right, come to him and lay hands on him. And he did not know what kind of hand it is. He tried to shake his head, right, to see if what it is, right? When he shake the head like this, and guess what? The hand just follow his head with the same pressure, okay? Not too hard, not too soft, following him like that. Vivid experiences from the Lord himself. I believe he will remember this with all his life. Brother and sister, if that true seeker can have that kind of experiences, hope that that kind of grace can come to us. But first of all, let's confess our sin. First of all, let's hold on the grace of the Lord. And then try to do something for the Lord. Maybe experience God over here. Maybe determine to serve God with all your life. Break through, sing praise with all your life. Break through that pattern. Hopefully, we can reach that. It's not easy, but let's try together. Let's all come to the presence of God to pray together.